Returning now to our story about the man who illegally left managed isolation in Auckland on Tuesday evening, only to find out the next day that he has COVID-19. The government is now scrambling to ensure that further escapes don't occur, and we are expecting an announcement about increased police involvement at the facilities later this afternoon. The man left through a fence at the Stamford Plaza Hotel on Tuesday night while having a smoke break. He spent time in a supermarket, taking selfies, buying razors, toothpaste, body wash at Countdown before logging into some free Wi-Fi and making what appeared to be a lengthy phone call. The minister in charge of isolation facilities, Megan Woods, says they're scouring CCTV footage in the city to try and account for all his movements before he returned to the hotel. We can talk now to public health expert Professor Michael Baker. Morena.
Morena, Kim.
Let me just test you with this. A veritable chorus of listeners is this morning saying, how dare you, how very dare you suggest that the government system is at fault. It's personal responsibility to blame here, and these facilities are not prisons. What is your attitude towards it, please?
Well, I think when there's something like this, which is, you know, egregious behaviour on the part of this person in quarantine, the temptation is to then blame and punish. But I think that's part of it. But I think the bigger question is looking for systematic improvements so that we reduce the chance of these breaches happening. And in this instance, we've got the question really of whether people coming into these facilities should be confined to their rooms until they've had their first test and it's negative. And so that could be implemented now if it's not already policy. And to really make that work, obviously, you have to make special provisions for people who are, say, addicted to nicotine or other substances. And in this instance, you could easily have a policy that anyone coming into New Zealand who is a smoker has to have nicotine replacement therapy, so they don't need to leave their room. I mean, many smokers, if they're planning a long flight, already take this approach. And that would be one way of managing this risk going ahead.
I mean, there must be a lot of people in these facilities who have various substance addiction issues.
There will be. And, I mean, once you have 6,000 or so people sitting in these facilities for 2 weeks, and that's going to be obviously an ongoing challenge, maybe for many months, we really need to realise that we're not all the same. People have certain problems, and start managing the outliers, if you like. Because I think most people obviously will be very dutiful most of the time. So we have to now cater for these really some very difficult people. And I think one of the issues is going to be nicotine replacement treatment. And I know it's one analogy could be what happened in New Zealand prisons in 2011. I know these people in these facilities are not inmates, but what they did there was they removed tobacco products from prisons and they provided nicotine replacement therapy. And it went very smoothly, that transition.
I mean, the fact is, if we were relying on personal responsibility, we would never have isolation facilities in the first place. We'd just trust people to go and sit down and stay there. So people have to give up some personal freedom for the sake of those who may not have the personal responsibility, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of this, in fact, all of us know when we travel through airports, you do submit to a whole lot of different processes. So we're just used to that, everything about moving from one country to another. I mean, it's an extension of that. I mean, it's a huge extension, of course. But this is the reason we moved away from self-quarantine at home for 14 days. We just realised it was very hard to enforce.
Do you think that there is, on a scale of 0 to 10, a risk of transmission of COVID-19 based on this individual's activities?
Well, from what I've heard, and I'm not investigating it, it seemed like a relatively low risk from all the information that's been reported. But this is a very standard contact tracing situation where someone has been found to be infected and you're looking at their contacts and appraising risk, following people up and telling people who may have been exposed to isolate at home until they've been tested or assessed.
Do you think that we should have more stringent containment than security guards who aren't authorised to apprehend?
Yeah, I think that's really an enforcement question. I would say it's much more systematic just to require people to be in their rooms for that 3 to 4 days until they've had their negative test. That would seem to me to be a systems approach that would greatly reduce the chance of these errors happening.
Appreciate your time. Thank you, Michael Baker, epidemiologist.